The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb and we do not know where they put him." Mary stayed outside the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" She thought he was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you laid him and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." So Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we celebrate one of the most important saints who has ever lived, but one who's suffered tremendous confusion over the course of the centuries. In the early centuries of the Church in the Latin Rite, she was confused with two other women in the Gospel. She was confused with the sinful woman in Simon the Pharisee's house, who came up to Jesus and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. She was likewise confused, three women conflated into one, with Mary of Bethany, Mary who anointed Jesus' feet with that precious aromatic nard before Palm Sunday, the sibling of Lazarus and Martha, who used to welcome Jesus into their home. She was confused with the two of them. She's separate from both. I will save you the details of how that confusion occurred. But in recent days, she's been confused in a calumnious way as Jesus' girlfriend or as Jesus' wife based on Gnostic pseudo-gospels from the ancient world written about a couple hundred years after Jesus lived that has been picked up by 20th century idiots like Dan Brown and a whole bunch of radical feminists. Mary Magdalene was not Jesus' girlfriend or wife. Jesus had a bride, and the bride is you. Jesus' bride is the Church. But it's important for us to focus on who Mary Magdalene was, because in the real facts that we have about who she was, we have so much to learn. I want to ponder five things today that she teaches us in her discipleship about how we are to relate to the Lord. First point, she had experienced the Lord's incredible healing. St. Luke and St. Mark tell us that Jesus had cast out from her seven demons. So she was clearly under the power of the devil. Some of the early saints said that those seven demons may have been the seven capital sins, that she was led by the devil into saying no to God and yes to him. Whatever they be, she had experienced the Lord's incredible healing touch, and she was always grateful. If we're going to be able to relate to the Lord like she did, then we too need to experience his healing. Pope Francis, in a book-length interview prior to the papacy, once said one of the most beautiful experiences that can happen to a Christian is to experience that he is a sinner, forgiven by the Lord. His whole motto is focused on that, that he was called in the very act of being forgiven by the Lord in the confessional as a 16-year-old. He gave a very powerful image that I repeat. He said, we've all been fascinated by those stories of people jumping off of bridges into rivers to save somebody who's drowning. He said, but imagine that the person who jumped into the river died saving that person's life. How much more people would be affixed to that? Never forget that story. He said, imagine you were the person drowning in the river that Jesus had jumped in to save. That's the experience of Christianity. That we were drowning in a sewer, and Jesus jumped in to that toxic waste of our sins all the way from heaven to push us to salvation. And in the process, he himself died. When we begin to grasp that, we can never forget what Jesus did. And just like somebody, for example, who had been saved in the Taunton River from another person who had jumped in from the Braga miraculously and pushed that person to the shore, we would never stop telling the tale of the one who had given his life to save our own. We would doubtless have that person's face in our wallet and on our wall. We would never stop. That's the experience Mary Magdalene had, and it led to all her other experiences. There's a parishioner here who's had a massive deepening of her faith in the last year or so. She wrote me an email a couple days ago, and she said, it all happened when I went to confession to you about a year ago. It all started by the experience of God's forgiveness in the confessional. And that's always true. A lot of the times Christians limp in faith because they haven't experienced the power of Jesus' healing touch at all or enough. It's the first thing. Second thing is, filled with gratitude, Mary Magdalene, follow Jesus. St. Luke tells us that she was one of the few women who cared for all of the disciples, probably prepared for them some food, says that at least some of them cared for them out of their own savings and means. But she was with Jesus as Jesus was preaching. She was with Jesus as Jesus was healing and doing his miracles and doing the other exorcisms. And that points to something very valuable for us. Do we follow Jesus in the same way? Do we hang on his word the way she did? Do we ponder the Gospels? Do we enter in to the experience of the miracles? And then do we accompany the Lord in his work? Do we sacrifice for that work? Really sacrifice? Do we help out the church in concrete material ways? You know, one of the distortions of the day is that if we're really going to strengthen the church, then everybody's got to be preaching. Everybody's got to be doing that conspicuous stuff. Everybody's got to be the facade. But what the edifice of the church needs, the church also needs mortar. The church also needs people behind the scenes. Mary Magdalene was very comfortable doing it and very generous doing it, listening to the Word of God and putting it into practice in the ordinary ways to strengthen the church. That's the second lesson she teaches us. We can all ask, how much am I spending my time listening to Jesus and then accompanying him in the work he's doing through his mystical body, the church? Third thing Mary Magdalene teaches us is not to abandon the Lord on Calvary. She was one of those few who was faithful to the Lord all the way to the end. He had hundreds, even thousands of people who had followed him, who had called themselves his students, his disciples. But when it came to Calvary, there was Mary, Jesus' mother. There was Mary, the wife of Clopas. There was Salome. There was Mary Magdalene. There was St. John. Those were they. She was there all the way to the end. Because she loved the Lord not to abandon him. She was there with him in his suffering. She teaches us how to do the same. How often do we really accompany Jesus first in his suffering? Do we really pray the sorrowful mysteries? Today is a Tuesday, one of the days in which we ponder those mysteries of the Lord's agony through his crucifixion, through his being laid in the tomb. Do we really pray those mysteries? Do we enter into the scene? Do we pray the Stations of the Cross? at least in Lent, do we come on Good Friday. Again, there have been a few things that I was never prepared for in the priesthood. But one of the biggest is I can't fathom how somebody who calls himself or herself a Catholic skips Good Friday. Skips it altogether, doesn't come at all to anything. When I used to work, I would always take Good Friday off. In the same way that we would always take a day off. If a loved one were dying, we would be there. No question about it. If it were a mother or a brother or a son or a daughter, we would be there. Many Catholics just go to work or go to school, just go about their own thing. And when you see them on Palm Sunday, literally they'll say, "See you next Sunday." Do we accompany the Lord in His passion up close? And then, do we care for the Lord as He's suffering in His mystical body and all those who are suffering in hospitals and nursing homes or homebound? Do we accompany them when they're going through some type of emotional suffering or spiritual suffering, when they feel abandoned even by the Lord? Mary Magdalene shows us how never to abandon the Lord in His agony. She followed Him straight to the tomb. That leads us to the fourth thing that St. Mary Magdalene shows us. She sought the Lord. She loved the Lord enough. We see at the beginning of today's gospel that she's out there seeking. She was so blinded by her grief. She herself was in such agony that she couldn't even recognize Jesus in His resurrected body. Couldn't recognize His face. Nobody else could either. She couldn't even recognize His voice at first until He called out her name. But she was seeking the Lord, because she loved Him that much. She ran to the tomb the first time she could, as soon as the Sabbath was over, to try to anoint His corpse. But He wasn't there. And so disconsolate, she asked where His body was. She ran. How many adult women run who are not preparing for a marathon? And we can run with our Nike sneakers. She was running with sandals or bare feet. But she ran to Peter and John, said, "They've taken the Lord's body and we don't know where it is." That deeply disturbed her. And she came and she continued to seek, asking the angels, "Where is He?" Asking Jesus, who she thought was the gardener, "Where is He?" That type of seeking is so important for us. You know, sometimes I ask myself the question, if I were, over the course of the week, just to torture God's holy people, remove Jesus from the tabernacles in the church so that Jesus wasn't here, how many of my parishioners would really be upset? Would it make a difference if the body of Jesus were taken away? If it would make a difference if the body of Jesus would be taken away, then we need to be here with the Lord Jesus. We don't have to all be here like Isidore all day long praying. We've got certain things we need to do, but we should want to be like here, like Isidore, even if we've got other duties. But would it matter to most of us if Jesus were not here? Do we really seek to want to unite our life with Him like Mary Magdalene? What an incredible example. You know, there was a time where, because of wacky liturgical ideas, lots of rebuilding projects in churches were to take Jesus away from the center where He belongs, put Him way off in corners or even behind things so that He was hard to find. There was one bishop who was named a bishop in the south who would come from the north, and when he was walking in all of these churches that were recent, he would always ask the question of Mary Magdalene, "I'm seeking my Lord. Where have you taken Him?" Because he couldn't even find the Lord in the church, couldn't even find the Blessed Sacrament. Are we always seeking the Blessed Sacrament? A couple days ago, I had to go up to Medway to preach a Mass for the International Gathering of the Teams of Our Lady. It's at a retreat center up there. And I really don't know the layout of the retreat center. On their property, they have perpetual adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. But in the place where Mass was being celebrated, the oratory, I didn't see that it was called an oratory, which would have been enough of a signal for me. I'm around, and I'm looking all over the place for Jesus. And one of the people there, it's just like, "Father, can I help you? are you the priest who's to celebrate the Mass? I said, yes, but I'm just a little, I just lost my bearings. Can you point out where the Blessed Sacrament is so that I can greet Jesus? And that's when he told me that the Blessed Sacrament isn't in that chapel. But do we have that sensation that we're always looking for Jesus, seeking him out, one of Mary Magdalene's greatest qualities? And fifth and last, Mary Magdalene was called by the early saints of the Church Apostola Apostolorum, the apostle of or to the apostles. She was the first one to see the risen Lord, and Jesus gave her a mission. He didn't give the mission solely to the apostles. He gave it to her first. What did he say? Go to my brothers and tell them, I'm going to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And off she ran again and said, I have seen the Lord. For each of us, we need to be apostles to the entire church and to everybody else as well, to run with urgency to people and say, I have seen the risen Lord. At the beginning of Mass today, what do we pray? We first praise God for Mary having been given the extraordinary privilege of being the first to see the risen Lord. But then we pray that through her intercession example, we may proclaim the living Christ to all those we know, that Jesus is really alive. When was the last time you went to someone and shared the fact that Jesus was alive and you heard him this morning and you beheld him this morning? Under a disguise like Mary Magdalene would have seen him, unlike she had recognized him in the garden, but you saw him this morning, and even more, you received him. People need to hear that news. The way all five of these lessons from the life of Mary Magdalene come together is here at Mass. It's here at Mass that we begin by crying out, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Living that experience that Micah was describing in the first reading today of the greatness of God's merciful love. It's here that we listen to the Lord and that we seek to unite our entire life with him. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours, that we unite all the sacrifice of our life to Christ's work. It's here that we receive the very body and blood of the Lord that he gave for us on the cross. We accompany him up to Calvary. It's here that the risen body of the Lord enters our empty tomb because we long for him more than Mary Magdalene did, or at least as much. And it's from here at the end of Mass that we're commissioned by the same Jesus, go and announce the gospel. Through the intercession of Mary Magdalene, may we experience all these things today and live in such a way that others through us may come to experience them too. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.